Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
We're going to journey through Joshua this summer. If you don't have a Bible, steal the one beside you. You may have an iPhone or an iPad or some other type of technology. Just be finding Joshua chapter 2. And the message of this book is how the people of God can claim and possess all that God has promised through this thing we call faith. That's the message of the, and how applicable is that for us today? Many of us are living below what God died and rose again for us to have. Did you know that God wants you to have an abundant, supernatural, overflowing life? Say, Brother Cal, I don't have that kind of life. You're not going to be able to say that after we get through the book of Joshua. God wants us to have this abundant life. Now, if you have found Joshua chapter 2, can we honor God's word by standing to our feet if you can? If you can't do that this morning, you honor God's word the best way you know how. Joshua chapter 2. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say not yet. All right. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and said to them, so she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I don't know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Tad Ketch, would you ask God to bless the word today? Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you just thanking you for the day that you've given us.
Yes.
For allowing us to come together and worship you, dear Lord. I just ask that our hearts and our minds may be open, dear Lord, that we receive this message that the cow's bringing to us. I just thank you so much for you, dear Lord.
Yes.
For everything that you've done for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. All right, now, let me set the stage here. The Israelites on the eastern banks of the Jordan River. They're fixing to head in. Don't you love that southern word, they're fixing to? I've said that to some Yankees and they say, "What? What are you fixing? What?" You know, but they were fixing to head in to the promised land. And they're camped on the eastern shore now of the Jordan. And they're ready to go in and claim and possess all that God had promised them. And so the battle of Jericho, which is the first city in the promised land, is just right around the corner. And the Holy Spirit of God had led Joshua to send two spies into the promised land, and specifically to go to the city of Jericho, in order that they might understand how best to take this first city in the promised land. Now, you need to know a little something about Jericho. You remember that, Walkers? Jericho was not a large city, about 9 acres in size, but it had two huge fortified walls surrounding the city. And it had its, and the city had its own food and water source. And so, man, they could be under siege for months and still survive. And then all access roads into Canaan came from this city of Jericho. So this is a very strategic city. And so Joshua wanted to know on this reconnaissance mission, if you will, he had sent these two spies to find out how best to take the city of Jericho. Now, you remember 40 years early, what happened? Well, Moses had sent 12 spies into the promised land to see how they could best take the promised land. And you remember 40 years before, 10 out of those 12 spies came back and said, you know, they got their eyes off the Lord and got them on the giants of the land. And because of their unbelief and the children of Israel's unbelief, they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years living in defeat. And I want to tell you, that's right where a lot of believers are today. You don't have to live in defeat. You don't have to be whipped on a regular, daily basis. Can I just take a step up? You don't have to have this Eeyore spirit. You can have victory. God died, was buried, and rose again so that you could claim and possess victory in His name today. Now, before we get into that, let me just tell you a little bit about this character named Rahab. Rahab was a poor, pagan prostitute. Let me tell you about Rahab. Through her conversion experience, she winds up in Matthew chapter 1, an ancestor of none other than the Lord Jesus. She winds up over in James chapter 2 as an example of being justified by faith. And she winds up over in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Hebrew Hall of Fame. And so I want to talk to you this morning about how God is able to take us from the house of shame to the Hall of Fame. Just pray that this message will live up to the title. Amen? And so I want to talk to you about how you can move from the house of shame to the Hall of Fame. And it happens by faith. Faith is the key. So, are y'all ready to roll now? I want to give you three quick truths this morning from this great passage of Scripture. First of all, Rahab, we see her demonstrating her faith. Rahab is demonstrating her faith. Now, as I mentioned a minute ago, this woman had a bad reputation. I mean, she's living in the red light district. She's a prostitute. She's a harlot. She sells her body to make a living. And she's under judgment. She's under condemnation for her sin. And now her city is under judgment. And the city of Jericho is under condemnation. You know what amazes me? Hollywood glamorizes. You remember how Julia Roberts got to be a great star? How many of you seen Pretty Woman? Oh, wasn't that music good, and all that? But I want to tell you, there's nothing glamorous about this kind of lifestyle. It is one of Satan's best lies. I'm going to a conference today down in Birmingham, Alabama. Southern Baptists are having that. And we're involved in doing everything we can to curb sex trafficking. And I have heard testimony after testimony after testimony from young women and even children who ran away from home and were trying to live on the streets, and how some pimp or somebody else took advantage of them and they sold their bodies just so they could get up the next morning and make a living. Nothing glamorous about this lifestyle at all. Rahab was under condemnation. She was under judgment. And her city was under condemnation and judgment. And let me just go ahead and tell you, John 3:18 says, if you have not believed, you are condemned already. You see, all of us are in the same boat. Let me just tell you again, heaven is not the default destination. You don't have to do anything and you'll wind up in a devil's hell. Now, you won't hear most preachers say this from a pulpit anymore, anywhere around here anymore, but that's the gospel truth. And I love you enough to give you the truth. I don't know who I'm talking to here today, but there's some folks in this room that are under condemnation of their own sin. Let me say this to you. Our God is a God of grace and mercy. And it's not His will that any might perish. It's God's will that you'd be saved. How can I say that? That's what the Bible says. And so you can move from that house of shame to the hall of fame just like Rahab does today. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
And so I've been praying this week that someone would move out from under the condemnation of their sin and by faith receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so we need to be constantly aware and reminded of our friends and family who are without Christ. Hello? Because if they're without Christ, they are going to a devil's hell. Now, Rahab hid these spies in her house. Now, I'll talk again. The providence of God is at work, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a couple of minutes. But the providence of God is at work. And so the king hears that these two Israelite spies are at Rahab's house. And so they come to her house and they say, "Where are these spies?" And she lies to them. She said, "Oh, they left. I don't know where they went. They went out the gate at night. Nobody knows. I mean, if you leave now and hurry, you can go get them." While the whole time she's hidden them up on the roof. What do we call that? A lie. Is that okay? Is that all right? Well, rules of what they call engagement reveal that when the welfare of a nation is at stake, it's okay to choose the lesser of two evils. Remember I quoted Corey Ten Boom last week? Well, in her book, The Hiding Place, she and her sister Betsy had to tell some white lies in order to protect the lives of some Jewish people. And so the point I want you to get here, though, is that Rahab is demonstrating her faith by her works. At great expense to her and tremendous danger, she decides to hide these spies in her own home. And so her works are pointing to the fact that she's truly been saved. Would you turn? Y'all got to see this. This is so good. I don't want you to miss it. Turn to James, way over there in your New Testament. James chapter 2. If you don't know where James is, I'll read it for you. At our women's conference, one of the speakers said, "If you don't know where a certain book is in the Bible, just go to the table of contents." Isn't that great advice? So look at James chapter 2, verse 24. It says, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." We are justified by faith and faith alone in Christ Jesus. But friend, if you're born again, if you're saved, you have a faith that works. Oh, that is so good. If you're born again, you've got a faith that works. I said, if you've been saved, you have a faith that points to the fact that you have been saved through your works. And so, your works don't merit your salvation. You can't earn your salvation. But if you're truly born again, the things that you're doing point to the fact of whether or not you have been saved. Our lives point to the fact that Jesus has saved our souls. That's why we're having MoCo Day, June 29th. Our works testify. And that's what Rahab's doing by her works. And you also need to realize that the providence of God is at work here. How did these spies wind up at Rahab's house? Huh? Look at chapter 1, verse 16. "So they all answered Joshua, saying, 'All that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go.'" How did the spies get to Jericho? They said, "We'll go. Send us. We'll go." And brothers and sisters, the first priority in our lives should be that we would be willing to go and be a witness. As a matter of fact, the Great Commission in Matthew 28 says, as you are going, we are to make disciples. Everywhere you go, we're to be a witness for Him. Hello? Everywhere you go. Quit keeping the best news that you've ever received to yourself. We're supposed to share good news, aren't we? Well, we've got the best news. It's not just good news. It's the best news. And so, the providence of God is at work. And so, he's got these two spies, his people, there in the house of this lost pagan sinner. And you know, that's the way God works. He's always, anytime he's got a prepared sinner, he's got a prompt soul winner. Look at Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Look at Simon Peter and the Gentile Cornelius. Look at Jesus and the woman at the well. Here's Billy Walker. There's Brian Rush. God's always about this business of putting people together so that they can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Somebody give God some praise. Do you know why the Lord hadn't come yet? You know why He hasn't come to get the church yet? Because He's still adding lost folks to the building. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "It's not God's will that any might perish, but that all should come to repentance." It just may be that God's waiting on you this morning. You came, you're here, and let me just tell you, God's the one who puts you in the seat you're in. And this is a divine providential moment for somebody here this morning, so that you could hear the message, the gospel, and be wonderfully and gloriously saved. Will you come to Him today? You're going to have that opportunity in just a minute. And so we see Rahab demonstrating her faith, and then we see Rahab describing her faith. Look at verse 8 with me. Are y'all with me? Rahab is describing her faith. Verse 8. "Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof." Now listen to this. "And said to the men, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who are on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord," listen to this, don't miss this, watch this, "for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." She's describing her faith here. She said, "Man, she heard the message, you see." She said, "Oh, I've heard about the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Has anybody else heard this morning about our great God? She heard the message. She said, "I heard how Moses, the deliverer, the emancipator, was used by God to bring Israel out of a land of slavery. They've been down there 400 years. I heard about how God delivered them. I heard about how God drowned the Egyptian soldiers in the Red Sea, and how God parted the waters of the Red Sea, and how the Israelites stepped over onto dry ground. I heard about how God did a great work through the old pagan Amorite kings, how the nation of Israel destroyed those two pagan kings. And we've heard about all this, and we are shaking in our boots." She heard the message. Have you heard the message? Do you know about the love and the saving power of our great God? He's able to save from the uttermost to the guttermost. Now, she not only heard the message, here's what I want you to get in describing her faith. She heeded the message. Let me read this one more time. 11b. "For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." Rahab, according to this verse, received the message that she had heard. She heeded the message, and she asked Him to be her God. You see, we make something so stinking hard out of the gospel message, but it's really easy to understand. Now, it did not come cheaply, but in order for somebody to be saved, you've just got to believe what the Word of God says and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's it. John 1:12, the Gospel of John says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Have you received the Lord? Have you? This woman came to know the Lord. Well, how do you know that, preacher? By her works. I hope I'm speaking to somebody today. And then lastly, we see Rahab declaring her faith. Look at verse 12. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I've shown your kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your home, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head and will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we'll be free from your oath, which you made us swear. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over. And they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. For indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. Rahab is declaring now her faith. She is declaring. She's described her faith. And she's expressed her faith by her works. And now she's declaring. Did you see the word kindness there in verse 12? Y'all see that word? That's the Old Testament word, chesed. Chesed. And it has to do with God's mercy and God's faithfulness. Now, your translation may say loving kindness, but this is a great Old Testament word. The counterpart word for this over in the New Testament is charis, grace. Loving kindness. And so what she's asking these spies to do, he said, she's saying, by the same mercy and the same kindness that I've extended to you two guys, I want you to extend it to my family when y'all come in to take the city. Isn't it an amazing thing? One of the truest ways to know that someone has truly been born again and saved is they get immediately concerned and burdened for their lost loved ones. I said one of the truest signs that somebody's truly been born again, once they've been saved, man, they want their loved ones, they want their families to have what they've got. Are y'all with me today? And so she's burdened about her family, and she asked him, she says, won't you show me the same mercy and kindness that I've shown you? And if you will, give me some concrete evidence for that. And so the spy said, okay, we'll do what you're asking. And what you need to do is hang a scarlet rope. Now, you remember how they had escaped? You know, she lived on the wall, Rahab and her family did. And there was a window there on the outside wall. And they had escaped, held onto this rope, and got down to the ground. And that's how they got away. And they said, by this scarlet rope, you hang that cord, that scarlet cord, in your window. And when we come and see that scarlet cord, we'll remember the promise that we made to you here today. and you and your household will be saved. You'll be spared. That is such a beautiful picture of salvation. Isn't it? I mean, the color scarlet, crimson, what does that remind you of? The blood of Jesus, doesn't it? Salvation. I mean, you remember when the death angel passed over Egypt? All of those folks in Egypt that had the blood of a sacrificial lamb covering the door and the lintel and the doorposts of their house, everybody that was under the blood was saved. Everybody that whose family had the blood covering their house was spared and was saved. And by the way, blood has always been the payment for sin. Leviticus chapter 17, 11, Hebrews 9, 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Your sins have to be under the blood. And Jesus shed His blood, making it possible for your sins to be completely forgiven and forgotten. I thought a Baptist in here might jump and shout when you heard that. I have to wait till we get to glory for that, I guess. It's the blood of Jesus that saves. And so Rahab identifies by hanging this scarlet cord. We're going to see this here in just a couple of weeks. By hanging this scarlet cord in the window of her house, she identifies with God and her people. Rather, with God and His people. Now, I've shared the gospel with people, and they, you know, some people want to treat the salvation of God like a cafeteria line. Well, I take a little bit of this, but I don't want any of that. Rahab identified with God and God's people. That's key, folks. And I've had folks tell me, well, that's a... Brother Cal, why do I need to be baptized? Brother Cal, why do I need to join the church? Brother Cal, why do I need... This is a private matter. Oh, no, 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 no. Jesus died publicly. He was shamed publicly and killed publicly and buried publicly and rose again. And many folks saw Him publicly. You know, that not identifying with God's people is like saying, well, I'm going to join the Navy, but I'm not going to wear that uniform, and I'm sure not getting on that ship. Some of you are here today, and you've been saved. But I want to tell you, you need to identify with God and God's people through baptism. It's time. God brought you here to hear this message. You've got to be willing to identify with the Lord and His people. I want you to look around the church house today. Just look around at some of these people. Now, not everybody here is saved, but I'd say the majority of folks in here are saved. You're going to be with them not for the next 70 or 80 years. You're going to be with Him forever. And you know what? When we're all sitting up there in glory, giving God praise and just enjoying being face to face with Jesus, and you look around at your brothers and sisters, you're going to be so thankful and so glad you identified with God's people. Some of you need to come today and identify with God's people in the church and be wonderfully and gloriously baptized. Not for your salvation, but for the purpose of identification and appreciation. Now, you see that cord in the window? That scarlet cord? The Israelites were coming. And you know what that cord said? Rahab's shouting it to anybody who would listen. Come on! Get in my house! Come under my roof! Come on, get under the blood! Judgment's coming! Come on, get in my house! Get under the roof! Judgment's coming! But there's hope. Anyone who got in her house was saved. Why? Because they were under the blood. Isn't this fantastic text? Whew. Now let me say this. We're about done. Rahab married a prince from the tribe of Judah named Salmon. Girls, how many of you like to be married to some guy named Salmon? Married a prince from the tribe of Judah named Salmon. And Rahab and Salmon had a boy named Obed. Not old boy, but Obed. And then Obed had a son named Jesse. It's coming clear to you now. And Jesse had a son named David. Rahab, the poor old pagan prostitute, received God by faith and became the great, great grandmother of King David. Woo! But it gets even better than that. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5 says that Rahab was an ancestor of King Jesus. And James tells us, we've already talked about that, how her works testified of her faith. And then when you get to Hebrews, we got to go there just real quick. Hebrews 11, preachers have a hard time shutting it down, don't we? Bless God. Hebrews 11, look at this Hall of Fame verse. Hebrews 11, 31. Hebrews is way over there close to Revelation. Hebrews 11, 31 says, by faith. Say those two words with me. By faith. The harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. When God opened up her eyes to the truth, and she opened up her heart and received what God had done for her, whoo, she moved from the house of shame to the hall of fame. And God will do the same thing for you right here today. Would you bow your head with me and close your eyes? Let's allow God's Spirit to work. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me just ask you this question. Do you know that you know that you know that you've been born again? I don't, Pastor. Well, my Bible tells me, like we've just discussed this morning, if you'd be willing to receive what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, so that you can be forgiven of your sin and trust Him with everything that you are, by faith, God will receive you. But you've got to be willing to take that stand. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to pray a prayer like this. If you're lost, we were all there at one point in time. For the first and only time, if you really mean business with God and God's Spirit's moving and working on you and you're under conviction, I want you to pray something like this. Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I know my sins have separated me from you. But I also know by faith that Jesus paid the price 2,000 years ago for all my sin. And by faith today, Lord, I receive what He did for me and surrender my heart and life to you. Oh, thank you for saving me here today. In Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you if you prayed that prayer today. If you prayed that prayer, you've been born again. I believe you've gotten saved here today. I don't care where you've been, who you've done it with. You've been saved today. I want you to look right up here at me. Now, everybody's looking down. Just look up right here at me. Look up right here at me. God bless you. Others, look right up here at me. God bless you. Others, look up right here at me. God bless you. I'm going to ask you to do something here in just a moment. Counselors, I'm going to need you to be ready.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.